Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to all of you today to our program on the will of God and the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. Today is May 5th in the fourth week of Easter, and a beautiful day, the first Saturday in the month of May, to honor our Blessed Mother and to honor her especially as Queen of the Divine Will and all of the wonderful ways in which her queenship has brought so many blessings and graces to us here on earth. So Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us in our program today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Father, please grant today that our every movement, our every thought, our every word and deed would be made in your most holy will, to think in our thoughts and speak in our words, listen in our listening. May all of our acts redo in whatever capacity you give them, all the acts of humanity from Adam to the last, so that these acts might be for your perfect eternal glory and for the good of all souls of all time. So come, divine will, beat in my heartbeat, breathe in my breathing, pray in my praying, and suffer in my suffering. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking our Blessed Mother, as always, help us understand what it means to live every moment in the kingdom of God's will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us, and all you angels and saints, pray for us. So, thank you for being with us today as we celebrate the first Saturday in the month dedicated to Our Lady, the month of May, thanking her for all of her life, for every act that she did here on earth, as she continues to do in heaven. You know, she is our mother, but she's also our queen. She's the one who reigns over the kingdom of the divine will as queen. And she wants all of us to reign with her. She wants us to participate, to cooperate with her in all that she does to bring this kingdom to earth. She chose you to listen to this program today. She chose us to be a part of that kingdom, to be members of it, priests, royal priests in that kingdom. So we should be very, very eternally grateful to our Mother Mary for choosing us and calling us today to live always in the kingdom of God's will. So let us begin our program today as we continue our study of Volume 12 of the Book of Heaven. And this passage is from September 25th, 1920. The truth is light that Jesus communicates to souls in the measure of their capacity, but the effects that go out from them are incalculable, and the laments of Jesus. Luisa writes, finding myself in my usual state, I saw my always beloved Jesus as he put a globe of light in my interior, that is, in her own heart, in her soul, and he said to me, my daughter, my truth is light. Moreover, in communicating it to souls, because they are limited beings, I communicate my truth with limited light, since they are not capable of receiving its immense eternal light. It happens as with the sun, which while in the heights of the heavens, it is seen as a limited and enclosed globe of light. The light that it expands invests the whole earth, warms it, and makes it fruitful. Thus it is impossible for man to number the plants that have been made fruitful, the lands illuminated and warmed by the sun, while with one look of the eye sees it in the heights of the heavens, but cannot see where the light will end, nor the good that it can do. So, as so often, Jesus will compare the divine will to the sun as the source of light in our universe, in our solar system. And he's saying that just as the sun, you could never measure that limitless light of the sun, even in one moment, let alone over the thousands of years of human existence. He's saying, so the divine will, you can't grasp it all. You know, we want to know it because that is eternal life, to know the one true God, and his will is who God is. So, yes, we're striving, the definition of theology is faith, seeking understanding. We're trying to know more, to understand more of who God is. But in fact, in all of eternity, you'd never know the end of who God is, because he's eternal. So Louisa goes on, or Jesus goes on to Louisa. It happens like this with the sons of my truth that I communicate to souls. They appear limited within them, but when these truths come out, how many souls do they not touch? How many minds do they not illuminate? How much good do they not do? Therefore, you have seen that I have put into you a globe of light. They are my truths that I communicate to you. Be attentive to receive them, and more attentive in communicating them, so as to provide a path for the light of my truths. So our attentiveness is so that we can be disposed to receive these truths, these lessons that we receive from Jesus in the Book of Heaven that he's communicated to Louisa. And also, of course, in this month of May, that he's communicated to Louisa through our Blessed Mother, who came to share with her for every day in the month of May these meditations on her life, the way that she came to know God, to know his divine will in her own life. And so he says, not only do I want you to be attentive to receive them, but to communicate them, as Louisa was called to do, so that we can provide a path for the light, or he can provide in us a path for the light of my truths. You know, just as the earth has a path, has a rotation in the solar system going around the sun, so too do we have a path in our lives around the divine will. See, and God wants that path, the path that he's made for each one of us, to be known to us. But also there is, in a way, a universal path of coming to know the divine will, which he's taught Louisa. And so he wants us to be sharing, communicating that path that we've come to know, love, and possess, hopefully one day, to share that with others. And that, too, is one of the reasons he's given us these sons of his truth, so that we too can communicate them to souls. So Louisa says, then I returned to prayer and I found myself in the arms of my celestial mother, who, embracing me to her bosom, caressed me. But I do not know how, I forgot it, and I was lamenting that everyone had left me. So Mary is there to comfort, console Louisa by caressing her and embracing her to her heart. But Louisa, you know, these things happen, and like all of us, you know, she forgets. Just imagine, you know, she has these experiences often in her life, and so she says, I forgot it. And then I was lamenting that everyone had left me. And Jesus, passing fleetingly, said to me, a little while ago, my mother, who with so much love had held you in her arms, came to you. And while he said this, I remembered it. So, he says, it happens with me. How many times do I come and you forget all about it? Should I perhaps not come anymore? Rather, I do as the mother does when her baby sleeps. She kisses it, she caresses it, and the baby knows nothing about it. Interesting. You know, the baby is asleep and doesn't know anything about being comforted, caressed by the parent. So too, he says, you're kind of in a sleep yourself, that you these things happen, but you don't even recall, you don't even remember. Moreover, when the child awakens, it cries that the mother does not come to kiss or wish it well, and thus you do. This is basically, he's telling Louisa, you do the same thing. And Louisa ends by saying, long live Jesus, artisan of loving stratagems. In other words, she's saying, isn't Jesus clever in the way that he can come up with all of these loving ways to kind of, you know, grab our attention, to teach us how much he loves us, and to show us and give us these wonderful lessons of his will. So even though Louisa's forgetful as we are, he always comes back to, you know, to teach her more, to comfort her, to console her, no matter how much she might be suffering. And so in the next passage, October 12, 1920, the one who lives in the divine will is in the same position as Jesus of giving light and heat to everyone, while no one except Jesus can give him anything. I felt very oppressed, Louisa writes, all alone without any hope of having even a word of help or security. Although they would be holy persons, it seems to me that if they come to me, they want help. They're looking for comfort, removal of their doubts, but for me, there's nothing. And then while I felt myself in this state, my always beloved Jesus said to me, "My daughter, the one who lives in my volition is put in my own conditions. Suppose that I had need of creatures, which could never be, because creatures are not capable of being able to help their creator. It would be as if the sun would want to ask light and heat from the other created things. What would they say? All would retreat and confused. They would say to it, 'What? You ask light and heat from us? You who with your light fill the whole world? With your heat make the earth fruitful? Our light disappears before you. Rather, give us your light and your heat.'" So Louisa's complaining, and sometimes maybe those of us who are in positions of service to others. Yes, people come to us often, to you or to others, to me, for help in their lives. And sometimes we might have a little self-pity and say, "Yeah, but who's there for me? You know, who's going to help me when I need it? Everybody wants help. They're looking for something all the time. But for me, there's nothing." And Louisa's making that very human complaint, as any of us might do as well. And Jesus is basically saying again, like the sun, he says, "Yes, but you're the one who has the light that they're seeking, because I've given you that light. I just put the light in your soul," as we just heard in the previous reading, which was actually quite a while ago. That reading was all over 2 weeks before this one, that passage was written. And so he's saying, "You're the one who has the light. And should you go to them and ask them for light when it's, you know, filling you and not them?" And of course, he's speaking here of the light of the truths, the knowledge of the divine will. Because this is what was given to Louisa. This is her prerogative. Her special gift is to be given this incredible this knowledge that is really the greatest knowledge, the greatest truth that the world has ever known. If you think about it, of course, Jesus and the incarnation is the truth. So after Jesus himself and the proclamation of his kingdom in the gospel, this is it, because this is the fulfillment of all of it and the full understanding of what that truth is. So he's saying, "Louisa, I've given you this light, and you're expecting to find it in other people?" So that's why he told her that she would not have a spiritual director. She would have confessors, because she needed the sacrament of God's mercy and healing. But he said, "I will be your spiritual director. You see, I'm the one who will teach you and fill you with that light. And you don't need to find it in anybody else. In fact, now, groups of priests would come to learn from Louisa. That's how Saint Hannibal first came to learn about the divine will. He would join this group of priests that would come surround Louisa's bedside, and she would teach them what Jesus had revealed to her, the divine will. So even the priests of the church and bishops and cardinals were coming to Louisa to receive the light that Jesus had placed in her. Of course, the light that is the gift of the knowledge of this truth, the reign of God's will on earth as in heaven. A knowledge, an understanding of that coming of the kingdom and the will of God that had never been fully expounded and just explained so beautifully as it has been to Louisa Picaretta. And those of you who have been reading for a while know how true that statement is. So, as Jesus says to Louisa, these other elements, these other people, these other planets, or as they would say to the sun, our light disappears before you. so it's true of all other human knowledge, brothers and sisters. It disappears. It is completely overshadowed, over-illuminated by the light of this truth, which is not a truth different or even greater than the truths of the gospel and the church, but it is the more complete understanding of those truths. And as the documents of the Second Vatican Council and the Catechism remind us, the understanding, the full appropriation of those truths continues in the church until the end of time. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to remind us, to teach us, to help us come to that full understanding of what that public revelation, that truth is that's been given to the church. That's the purpose of private revelation. And more than any other private revelation in the church, it is the purpose of this one, to bring to the fullness of light and understanding the truth that's already revealed to us in the church, in the power of the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ himself and the kingdom that he came to bring. So Jesus says, "So it happens to one who lives in my volition, putting herself in my same conditions, and the Son, S-U-N, of my volition being in her, it is she, you, Louisa, you listeners who are living in the divine will, who must give that light, heat, that help, that reassurance and comfort to the world. Thus, I alone am your help, and you, from within my volition, will help the others." You know, how often does Jesus, you know, say this syllogism in the gospel? I can do nothing of my own. I receive everything from the Father. The Spirit that the Father and I give you will do everything in you, for without us, you can do nothing. That, brothers and sisters, is the gospel today on this first Saturday in the month of May, where Jesus says so clearly that on this Saturday, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" He says to Philip, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works." See, that Father who is Jesus' eternal Father and with him from all eternity, generating this life, divine life of the Son, is always in him and in his humanity doing whatever these works are that God wants to accomplish in him. "Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves." You see, believe the Father's in me because you see these works. What are the works of Jesus? His teaching, his miracles, his healing, his deliverance, his feeding the multitudes, his love, his compassion, his mercy. These are the works of Jesus. And then he says, by continuing this way of understanding our life in Christ, "I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater than these because I'm going to the Father." See, not only will you do my works, you're going to do greater works. Why? Because the works that Jesus did on earth, yes, they go on forever, but in another sense, because they were done in time and place, they're limited. They're finite works. You know, those works were done on earth. In his humanity, they have a finiteness. In his divinity, they're eternal. But he's saying, you too are going to do these works because I'm going to do my works in you. If you believe in me, and of course that's it's a big condition. What kind of faith is that? If you believe in me, you will do the works I do. Or as the Catechism says, Jesus enables us to live all that he lived, and he lives it in us. He carries out in us the same works that he did on earth. He continues those works, and because it's now over a much longer period of time than 33 years, that's what he means by greater. Certainly they can't be, we can't do anything better or bigger or greater than what Jesus did, but greater in the sense of number, in the quantity of those works. And he says, this divine life of mine is going to be in the works you do as well. You see, it's this interior life of Jesus that he's going to carry out in us through the human acts, or another word for our acts, A-C-T-S, is our works. Your breath is a work. Your heartbeat is a work. Why? It's something that is done in you, that you do. You know, you may not be aware of it or conscious of all these things, but every human act we do is, in a sense, a work of our humanity, or a work of God in our humanity. And so our role is simply to invite and to give our fiat, to ask Jesus, to take from Jesus what he has done, and now allow it to continue to be done in us. That's what the word fiat means. Let it be done in me according to your will. Let it be done in me as it was done in your humanity. May the divine will reign. And that means may it completely take over, control, have dominion over everything I do. So that my works are now the works of Jesus. The works of Jesus are my works. And together we do everything in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father. See, this is life in the divine will, and it's perfectly there, as you just heard in the Gospel of John, especially in this incredible chapter 14, where Jesus really, I think, gives us the whole doctrine of the divine will. If you have eyes to see it and ears to hear it, it is all there. And so it's simply a matter for us to keep learning, to keep appropriating this truth. You know, this truth is poured out for us in the church. That's where God gave it to us. And in this season of Easter and preparing for Pentecost, the birth of the church, it's a great reminder to us, you know, that the church is this ongoing work of God in the biggest sense of the word, in the universal sense. Christ continues to live, to serve, to minister, to heal, to save, to sanctify. Through the church. Pope Benedict said this, is quoted in a book by H.J. Fisher in A Personal Portrait of the Pope. And he quotes the Pope as saying, in a world where skepticism has infected even Christian believers, people are offended by the conviction that there's a truth that can be precisely defined and expressed. The church is not merely a human organization, and must therefore defend a deposit and a treasure of faith, which does not belong to the church, but comes from God. In other words, yes, the church is human because we're human, but it's much more than that. It is a deposit of truth, a treasure of faith, which is not our property. It belongs to God because it comes from God, as everything else comes from God. As Jesus comes from God and we are his body, so too the church belongs to God and comes from God. So the truth is given not for us as a personal property or possession, but so that we can make this truth known to others and to share it with them. And so he says, that's the way it is with others. I alone am your help, and you from within my volition will help the others. See, that's life in the divine will. And it's such a beautiful life, you know. It's such a holy life, a wonderful life that God has called us to. Yes, it's challenging because it means a death to ourselves, but it is the life that God wants for us. So Jesus is saying, just as the Father's doing his works in me, the one who believes in me will do the works I do. You see that analogy, that syllogism there. The Father's working in Christ. Christ works in us to accomplish what we want to do. And in the church, not just through us as individuals, but of course through the church. You know, St. Hannibal says this beautifully in his introduction to the hours of the Passion. He says, when you do a meditation on the Passion of the Lord, you enter into that hour that so many of us are trying to be faithful to, doing that 1 hour at least a day. He says, when you're doing this in the divine will, everything that Jesus did is present and in act. That work of Jesus in that hour of the Passion is present in that moment. Why? Because it's an eternal act, and it is there. It's ongoing. And so he says, this means that when you come into that act, you unite yourself with it. When you remember it, but remember in the most powerful sense of the word, to make it present again through your praying it, through your reading it, and compassionating Jesus. He says, then you participate in these interior acts of Jesus and in his suffering, which are now present again in that precise moment. When you do that, he says, you repeat his life within you, so that you grow in his likeness, and you pour out upon everyone again in a more complete way the infinite value, merits, and effects of that Passion, and especially of that hour and the acts that Jesus did in that hour of his Passion. It's amazing. So you're growing in his likeness by doing it. Why? Because you're uniting your own interior life with that of Jesus, so he can come and transform you from within through the power of his divine will. You are making that act present again, and you're pouring that out, the benefits, the graces, and blessings of that particular time in Jesus' life on earth. You're making them present to everyone. And finally, we're returning and glorifying God, making reparation to God for all the ways that those acts of Jesus have not been received, have not been reciprocated, have not been loved, have not been taken and used for the salvation of others, including ourselves. That reparation can only be done perfectly by the will of God, because that's the way Jesus accomplished it, through that divine will, reigning in his humanity, of course, and in our mother. And so when we do that hour, it's just another example of the ways in which we are able to live the life of Jesus again on earth through his suffering, certainly, and that is so powerful, isn't it? Because that's where we see the love most of all of Christ for us, where his love is poured out through that Passion and agony, which begins not on Holy Thursday, but on the moment, the second of his conception. That his suffering, his Passion begin there, but of course, in his humanity, they reach their fulfillment, their completion, in the last 24 hours of his life. So this is what we want our life to be. And granted, we don't want to be undergoing the Passion in every moment as he did, although some souls are called more to that than others. But at the same time, every act, if we are dying to our human will in that act, it is a martyrdom, it is a Passion, so that the divine life, the divine will can rise in that act. As Jesus says, that's the true resurrection, is not when you die, but here on earth in every act that's done in the will of God. So Jesus alone is our help, but through us, through our acts in the divine will, living in the divine will, cooperating, doing everything with him, he says, then you help others the way I do. And I'm able to extend and multiply, distribute, magnify all that Jesus did in his own life, death, and resurrection. Let's continue now with November 15th, 1920. Each thing done for Jesus forms a chain that always binds us more to him without impairing our liberty. Louisa says, my state is always more sorrowful. The divine volition alone is my sole help. She learned the lesson. Then finding myself with my sweet Jesus, he said to me, my daughter, every work done for me, every thought, every word, every prayer, even a simple remembrance of me, are so many chains that the soul forms to bind me and to bind herself to me. You know, it's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That, you know, think of everything we do, every little thought of Jesus, or everything we do for him, through him, with him, and in him. He says, is another thread or another link in that binding, that chaining of ourselves to Christ. And of course, that's the goal, isn't it? Union with God through Jesus. Moreover, these chains have the power that without forcing human liberty, which God usually does not do. He, on occasion, yeah, he'll twist the arm, but generally he doesn't take our freedom away. He doesn't force us to do something we don't want to do. These chains sweetly provide the chain of perseverance. That is of what? Of continuity, of that continual linking and binding and uniting ourselves, forming the last link and the last step in order to have her take possession of immortal glory. Of course, that final possession will only happen eternally in that moment when we go to heaven. But it begins here now. It's a process that must start here on earth, or it will not happen when we die. This is because continuous good has such virtue, such attraction over the soul, that without anyone obligating or forcing her, she voluntarily feels herself moved to good work. We spoke of this a lot last time, that true freedom, it only comes when we give our freedom to God. It only comes through that surrender, that fiat of our human will to the divine will. Every other kind of freedom that appears to be freedom, illusory freedom, is not, and in fact is, true slavery. Adam and Eve had freedom before the fall. After the fall, they were no longer free in the way that they were before, because before the fall, they had given their freedom to God in every moment, surrendered it for God's will to reign in them. Once they took it back, they lost that perfect freedom. And that's where all suffering, all sin, all death began. And so Jesus is calling Louisa and all of us, and he's really impressing on us here the importance of everything we do to keep that chain, those links of the chain, growing. Why? Because if we're not growing in union with God, we're probably going to be going in the opposite direction. You can't stand still in the spiritual life. You just cannot do it. If you stop growing, then you're going to go backwards. You're going to be diminished in your spiritual life instead of increasing and augmenting it. So on November 28th, 1920, the title is The Benediction That Jesus Gives to His Mother Before the Passion with His Creative Word Fiat. In order to renew with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, creation and the creature, to let himself be blessed by her in everything. Yesterday in the catechism hour, we were talking about part four, the Christian prayer and blessing. And what blessing really means, it's one of the most beautiful dimensions of Jewish prayer and Jewish worship, is the blessing. You know, the Jewish people bless God. And the word hallel, you know, where the word alleluia comes from, is really a blessing of God. And so we're called to bless God in everything we do. God has blessed us. We've received those blessings of God. And yet, do we multiply those blessings, extend them, and return them? This is a real question, I think. And of course, blessing, the blessing cup of the Last Supper, the blessings of Jesus upon humanity while he was on earth, are multiplied and continued as blessing of food. All of that continues through the church and comes, of course, from the Father himself, the source of all blessings, the Father of blessings, fountain of blessings, to whom all blessing must return in the end. So this passage is going to now be about the blessing, or the benediction, which is the same word. When the benediction of the Holy Eucharist is a blessing with the Holy Eucharist. And here the word benediction, because it applies to Jesus himself blessing his mother, is his own benediction of her with the word fiat. See, it's so beautiful. How does he bless his mother? With the divine fiat, his own divinity in his humanity, blessing her with that eternal fiat and blessing her human fiat and making them one. Why? Because in this way, he says, in order to renew with the Father and the Holy Spirit, creation and the creature. It's an eternal blessing of the Holy Trinity upon all of creation through Mary. See, that's the way Jesus, God the Father, blessed humanity with his Son when he gave his Son to us through Mary. See, so we couldn't say, if there's any discussion about media tricks of all grace, as Mary's the one through whom all blessings come to us, it's because that's the way God gave us Jesus. And he contains in himself all blessings of the Father. And Jesus came through Mary. And so it is. So St. Louis de Montfort, Maximilian Kolbe, many others who are the great theologians of Mary has said, yes, everything returns also to God through Mary. We can go to God, we go to God through Jesus, but we go to Jesus through Mary because that's the way he came to us. And this is the way God blesses all of creation. That's why she is the one who reigns over this kingdom of the divine will, as the mother queen, the queen mother. So Louisa says, I was thinking about when my sweet Jesus, in order to begin his sorrowful passion, wanted to go to his mother and ask her for her blessing. Whereupon, blessed Jesus said to me, my daughter, how many things this mystery says. And it is a mystery, isn't it? Jesus, Son of God, goes to a human creature to ask for her blessing. And just imagine, how many times did Jesus do that in his life? I wouldn't be surprised if he went to Mary many times during the day to ask for her blessing upon his work, upon his sleep, upon his rising, upon his mission, his missionary journey to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus, as a humble Son of God, in all of his humility, sought that blessing of Mary and certainly of Saint Joseph as well. Jesus says, how many things, as this mystery says, I wanted to go to ask a blessing of my dear mother so as to give her the opportunity of also asking a blessing for herself from me. See, it's all, love is always reciprocal. Love is always a circle. It begins and it returns to its source. Very many were the sorrows which she had to endure, and it was just, only just, that my blessing should reinforce her. Just as it does for Louisa so many times in the midst of her great suffering, just as it does that blessing of God for you, for me, in the midst of our own trials, our own challenges and difficulties in this world. Blessing is so important. You know, I say it over and over again. Parents, spouses, bless each other. Bless your children. Children, bless your parents. I believe the blessing of a child is one of the most beautiful and powerful prayers on earth. To have a child bless you and pray for you. Why? Because they're so innocent. They're such a pure channel of that blessing of God. But we must also bless them and protect them. Use holy water when they go out that door in the morning. Bless them with holy water before they sleep at night. That was one of the things I learned in my childhood, and I still do it to this day. I try never to go to sleep without blessing myself with holy water. And it's what I want to do in the morning, always to begin the day, is asking, taking the blessing, renewing the blessing I received and you received in baptism with that holy water in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. So Jesus says, my mother suffered a lot. She needed my blessing, and that's why I wanted to give it to her. It is my custom, he says, when I want to give, to ask. How many times do you do that yourself? You know, you want to give a gift to someone, so first you ask them for something so that they won't feel unequal. They won't feel in any way humiliated by the gift. So first we ask so that we can have an opportunity to give in return. It's a beautiful way of thinking of God, isn't it? First he gives to us, and then he asks us to give something back to him. So moreover, my mother understood me at once. So well, it is true, that she would not have blessed me if she had not asked for a blessing. You see, God might ask a blessing of you and of me, and we should bless God. Bless the Lord, my soul, the psalm says over and over. Let all my being bless his holy name. Every act in the divine will is a blessing of God. And so he says, when you come and ask me for a blessing, it gives me the opportunity to bless you in return. Many times when I go into homes to visit people, especially the sick, or to bring them communion, I ask for their blessing, especially the elderly and children. For some reason, those are the two I often ask for a blessing from. Why? Because we need that blessing. Or from a dear friend, like I had a visit today from friend I had not seen in probably over 20 years. We had served together early in my priesthood, and I had not seen this friend in many years. And had a kind of a surprise visit from that person today, and we blessed each other. It's a beautiful thing to do with people you care about, people you trust and you love. And so Jesus says, after being blessed by me, she blessed me. But this is not all. In order to create the universe, I said one fiat, one let it be. Let there be light, fiat lux, fiat terra. Let there be earth, let there be the stars, let there be the sun and everything else. Let there be mankind. And with that one fiat alone, I reordered and embellished heaven and earth. So first God created with one fiat. And then he restored creation with one fiat. In creating man, my omnipotent breath infused life into him. In giving beginning to my passion, I wanted to bless my mother with my omnipotent and creative word. This all-powerful word of God. And Jesus, through whom all things are created, is the one in whom that word fiat, Jesus is the eternal divine fiat. He wanted to bless his mother with that word. But it was never and not her alone that I blessed. I saw all creatures in my mother. She is a creature, but as queen of humanity and mother of humanity, we're all contained in her. It was she who held the primacy over all, and in her I blessed each and every one. Rather, I blessed every thought, every word, every step, every heartbeat, every breath, etc. I blessed everything that would serve creatures, as when my omnipotent fiat created the sun. So just imagine when Jesus created the sun, when God created the sun in Christ, he blessed that sun so that it would continuously pour out blessings upon us, you see, through that creative word of let there be light, that creative fiat of God now continues as the sun continues to pour out its light upon us. It didn't just happen once. It's an eternal word from God, that let it be. Without diminishing either in light or in heat, it makes its way to every mortal, every plant, every part of the earth that needs that sunlight in order to live. Thus, my creative word by blessing was always, always in the act of blessing, without ever ceasing to bless, as the sun will never cease to give its light to all creatures. So that blessing of God, that fiat, which is his blessing, is eternal, never runs out, never stops, never gets tired, never in its mercy, you know, is withheld from us, but always continues. What does Jesus say in the gospel? Be perfect as my heavenly Father, who's the rain and the sunlight that he created, fall upon the good and the bad alike, without distinction. You don't have to be good to get the sun to receive rain. It falls on everyone. And he says, that's the nature of my love. It's the nature of the way I create. And then he says, but this is not yet all. With my blessing, I wanted to renew the merits of creation. I wanted to call my Heavenly Father to bless in order to communicate His power to the creature. I wanted to bless her, my mother, Mary, in my name and that of the Holy Spirit, to communicate to her wisdom and love, as well as to thus renew the memory, the intellect, and the will of the creature, constituting her sovereign over all. What is Jesus talking about here? What he's saying is, through Mary, through whom Jesus himself is going to redeem, renew, behold, I make all things new. He's going to restore the kingdom to earth. He's going to restore this dominion that was placed in creation at the beginning. He says, this all has happened first completely in my mother through her immaculate conception and throughout her life by her own fiat, her own cooperating, corresponding to that call, to that gift of God. And so he's saying now, through my mother, I'm continuing this restoration of the kingdom. And through this blessing, it's a blessing of renewal of the original blessing. St. Maximus the Confessor says we know a lot about original sin, but there is also original blessing that we must never forget, original grace, which God has given to us through Adam and Eve, our first parents. And now that original grace, that original blessing, is restored through Jesus and Mary. And that, and Mary as sovereign, as queen of us and mother of us, is the one through whom that blessing reaches us. But Jesus says, no, that in giving, I want. In giving, I want to receive back. And my dear mother understood and blessed me at once, not only for herself, but in the name of everyone else. So just as Mary receives the blessing of Jesus for us, for every human person that she contains in her in herself, she blessed Jesus for us and in our name on our behalf. So just as she returned, as she received the blessing for us, she received it for us. Brothers and sisters, this is what God wants you to do now. Receive His blessings, His benedictions, His gifts, His love for everyone, and return it for everyone. It is just that simple. Simple things don't mean easy, but it means it is simple. A child can understand this, you know, but somehow in our adult complexities, the way we like to complicate things, it's very hard for this simplicity, this singular, this unicity, this oneness of God and God's way of loving and working in us. It's so we complicate it, we make it so difficult. So he's saying, no, this divine science is utterly simple. It's all about one thing. My will, my love being poured out upon you so that you can receive it for everyone and return, distribute it to everyone, return it to everyone, and then give it back to me. Receive, restore, and return. I call it the three R's of living in the divine will. We have the three R's of grammar school, reading, writing, and arithmetic. But these are the three R's of living in the divine will. Receive, restore, and return, or another way, could say it is requite. Requite that love of God that you've received. And that's why the most important in many ways is to receive, because if you don't receive, you can't restore and you can't return. So this act of receiving from God in every moment of your life, Lord, thank you for this breath. I receive this heartbeat as your gift to me. to keep me going, keep my life here on earth, to continue it. I receive this word that's passing through my mind and coming out of my mouth. I receive it from you, and I return it. I restore it. I want that word to pass to everyone. And thank God we have Radio Maria and the technology today in our world to do that. It's no accident that the divine science, the life and the divine will, was given to us in the age, the very years in which electricity was invented and diffused in the world. And now, we in the second generation have not only electricity, we have all of the media to make it known. It's true of the gospel, but it's also true of this way of life, this new evangelization that God's given us, to make it known. Oh, if all could have seen my blessing, they would feel it in the water they drink, in the fire that warms them, in the food they take, in the pain that afflicts them, in the moans of their prayers and the remorse of their sins, in the abandonment of creatures. In everything they would hear my creative word that speaks to them, but which, unfortunately, they do not hear. Beautiful passage, isn't it? I'd love to read it again, but we're running out of time, so I want to complete this passage, and maybe we'll come back to it next week. I say to them, I bless you in the name of the Father, of me the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I bless you to help you. I bless you to defend you. I bless you to forgive you. I bless you to console you, and I bless you to make you holy. And then the creature would echo my blessing by also blessing me in everything. These are the effects of my blessing. Moreover, my church, taught by me, echoes with me, and in nearly all circumstances in the administration of the sacraments and other things, gives her blessing. The blessings of God descend to us through Mary, the mother of the church, through the church, to all of us on earth, so that we can multiply, magnify, and extend those blessings, distribute them to everyone in the will of God, and finally to return love, thanksgiving, blessing, and adoration back to the Father, from whom all blessings come. Well, that is the blessing that I wish for you, brothers and sisters, and with Jesus and in his holy will, I bless you, and I ask God to continue to let that blessing penetrate you, and may you be open. May you have the grace of the Holy Spirit, of the risen Lord Jesus, and of our Blessed Mother Mary, to always receive God's blessings, to multiply them, restore them to others, and return them to God. Blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you now, and remain with you forever in the kingdom of God's will here on earth and in heaven. Thank you for being with us today. Stay with us as part of the world family of Radio Maria, and join us again next Saturday, 9 o'clock Central, 10 Eastern Time, for the will of God in the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta. I'm Father Robert Young, priest director here in the South, and wishing you a most blessed month of May, in honor of Our Lady, and may everything you do be in the heaven of God's will. God bless.